You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, February 20th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman.
Yeah.
Back again! Joined by the King, Scott Angle. Fantasy executive Corey Parson, of course, Tony Cincato, who did an unbelievable job filling in for me hosting last week. I appreciate it, Tony, very, very much. Thank you, buddy.
Oh, it's my lifeline goal.
Oh, fantastic. I appreciate it. Guys, what's going on?
Good to see you.
Your phone's going off. Nothing's changed.
That's not me.
That was me this time.
It's Things have changed.
Yes. How are you? It's good to see you, my friend.
Oh, I'm good, man. I feel refreshed. I feel good to go.
You look refreshed. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel good. My goal was to get as tan as Corey on my trip.
That's not going to work.
No? I haven't.
Not very tan, no, yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you,
Scott. You look vacationed.
You know, I feel good. I feel good. I was relaxed. I was thinking about lots of stuff we could get going. I'm excited. Baseball season has arrived, and of course, I had a really good week, man. How was your weekend, Corey?
Oh, the weekend was cool. I didn't really get too much done. Little All-Star Saturday night, which was horrific.
Yeah.
The game was enjoyable yesterday, and of course, last night we learned about the big trade. Mm-hmm. So, it's just kind of a kick in the weekend. Nothing to report. Excuse me.
What about you, Scott? What did you do this weekend?
Let's see. Did a few things. Caught up on some movies I wanted to see that I haven't seen in a long time. I caught the first Thor movie, and I liked it a lot. I watched Avengers: Age of Ultron. Didn't like it. Watch some NASCAR. We almost cashed out, if not for a wreck on the final lap of the Clash of Daytona. Went for a nice long walk and got a lot of exercise.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Good stuff. Tom, what did you go to this weekend?
I went to a comedy show Saturday night. It was seeing a guy that I hadn't talked to in about 5 years. He was great. He did an amazing job. It was a lot of fun. And one of the comedians actually drives around in a white shitbox that he has the audience autograph after the show. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yes.
And then Friday night, you get a little banged up. And then last night, it was MMA.
How was the MMA last night?
It was pretty good. I didn't realize, man, free TV last night. It was 5 hours of MMA.
Oh,
I made a lot of money, so I was happy about it.
It sounds like a hell of a night.
You play DFS. It was nothing to do. I'm like, oh, wow, MMA. I only play pay-per-view. Tonight, I'm going to reach on and free because there's nothing here. And even the NHL is sticking it to us tonight, right? You have a night where there's nothing to do, and you have two games. Like, I deal with this with the NBA. What is the NHL doing to me?
That's unbelievable. I had friends texting me saying they were listening to the Line Up Lock show, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to play hockey. I don't know what to do with myself. And I'm texting him like, this is not good. You can't do this. And then all of a sudden, he starts winning every day this weekend. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yes.
So, fun weekend with you guys. And as I said, baseball season now for me has arrived. I'm back from vacation. So, of course, we have to start with the NBA now, right? Like, we have no choice. And I want to talk about NBA Saturday night and NBA Sunday. And we'll certainly get to that later on in the show. But we got to start with last night's Boogie Cousins trade because that's the biggest story. After weeks and days and hours of Lottie Divock saying, no, this guy's going to be here forever. DeMarcus Cousins saying he wanted to hang his Kings jersey in the rafters. He was pumped to sign the $218.5 million extension with Sacramento. DeMarcus Cousins is, never leaving New Orleans because last night he was traded to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, who will be traded. 2017 first-round pick and a second-round pick as well. There are conflicting reports that there would be another first-rounder in there if some other guys would be in there as well. It doesn't look like it. This kind of looks like the trade. And Boogie Cousins last night, when asked about his all-star experience in New Orleans, he said, quote, I love New Orleans. I'm never leaving. And you know what? He's not. No coincidence there. DeMarcus Cousins, the big fella, Boogie, and his 16 technicals headed to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this works out. You know, you got a new Twin Towers combo there, and might knock down their fantasy values just a little bit. There's a lot of reaction to trade on the internet this morning. Fox Sports I know we talked about the Knicks, and this is just Fox Sports' opinion saying that this trade proves that that the Kings are the worst franchise in sports. You know, all other kinds of things to consider fantasy wise, though. You know, does he'll get a little bit of a boost in Sacramento? Willie Cauley Stein will definitely see a boost. You know, how is it going to affect Holiday? And you know, in terms of his production, so a lot of angles to consider.
Corey, what you saw this last night right after the All-Star game? The Woj bomb drops, and Boogie Cousins staying in New Orleans.
Yeah, so well, he's actually gonna go home and come back.
He's gonna go home and come back
tomorrow morning.
Yeah, somebody else do that for him.
No, he's gonna come back tomorrow morning.
I don't know. Well, if you had an extra night in New Orleans, you wouldn't just no.
He's living there, so it's be the weekends.
Good point.
Over, you know, he'd be all right. No, but honestly speaking, I mean, obviously, big trade, blockbuster deal. Now you get, like you said, like Scott said, the Twin Towers, New Orleans starting to assemble their big three. They start in the front court with Boogie and Anthony Davis. So you got the two Twin Towers at the University of Kentucky. So it was actually a conversation this weekend. Could an all-UK team beat the Cavaliers?
That's interesting.
Yeah, can an all-Kentucky team beat the Cavaliers? So you got the two UK big men.
So you said that, and it made me think of British. I'm like, what British guys are going to beat the Cavaliers? Now that makes more sense.
UK, University of Kentucky.
Right, you're like, I feel like it took until you said it again to realize, the Brits are going to do anything?
So, you're talking about Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, Boogie, and you get two other people.
John Wall.
Yeah, John Wall. Yeah, that's a good one right there.
John Wall and him and the team, that works.
Definitely interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how the Pelicans continue to put the rest of the pieces together. So, Boogie Cousins, who was determined to stay in Sacramento, is now a member of New Orleans, and he gets to wreck that coaching staff.
With Anthony Davis. Now, Tony, I think the obvious question for me becomes, how long until Alvin Gentry is fired, number one? Number two, how long until John Calipari is rumored to go to New Orleans?
I think both will be happening. But Alvin Gentry, maybe he'll be the guy, right? maybe he's a low-key guy. Maybe he's the guy that'll affect DeMarcus Cousins in a good way. I'll tell you right now, this is an amazing story, and it's going to put the NBA general manager on notice. If you see these three schleps get traded for DeMarcus Cousins, you couldn't pull off this deal, what the hell are you doing all day behind your desk? How do you not make a better deal than what the Sacramento Kings just offered to the New Orleans Pelicans in this deal? This is horrible. This is a horrible, horrible trade. And now we've seen two trades go down in the last couple of weeks where it's basically salary cap dumps. We're used to this happening in Major League Baseball for prospects we've never heard of. And now the NBA, we've heard of these guys because they've played on rosters, and they're just not good.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Normally there's multiple ways to, like, analyze a deal. And I think Tony and Scotty and Corey, they all described it perfectly. The Sacramento Kings got robbed last night. I mean, they gave up their all-star player, their best player, a top-10 player. I mean, a nutcase for sure in the NBA. For nothing. I mean, they gave it to Buddy Hield, who, like, maybe could be a good player, and I like Buddy Hield. Tyreke Evans is an expiring contract. A top three protected first-round pick, a second-round pick, which means nothing. That's it. Nothing. They got nothing in this deal. It basically is Buddy Hield, in a first-round pick for DeMarcus Cousins.
Basically, that's it.
Are you kidding me?
I guess they saw first-round pick, and they said, okay.
So they had a first round.
That could be it, right?
It's
not going to be a good pick.
I'm joking.
Not going to be a good pick.
No, because they're going to wind up making the playoffs now. They're going to sneak in.
Yeah, I don't get this whole thing because the NBA is so weighted too. Like in other sports, I could get this because DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent,
right?
And then he just leaves you in the dust. But he can't leave because you could pay him way more than everybody else.
Correct. You could pay him like $50 million more. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so I don't get this. And the first thing I do is if I own a team, I would have the general manager in my office this morning and ask me why DeMarcus Cousins is not on my team.
Well, the problem is, so that guy obviously has to sign off. You're talking about any NBA general manager.
Anyone.
Oh, right.
First thing I do is I get him in my, what did we do? Did we even call them? Like, do we have their phone number? What the hell happened here?
Well, it sounds like it came down to New Orleans and the Lakers, actually, to be in the running for DeMarcus Cousins. And the Lakers refused to give up Brandon Ingram in the trade. Well, obviously, New Orleans was willing to give up Buddy Hield.
I could sort of see it because DeMarcus Cousins doesn't make them win right away.
Correct.
I guess with the Lakers. But still, you would at least get some excitement there in L.A. Brandon Ingram, I don't know. He's got to gain at least 52 pounds.
Yeah.
I would have made the move probably.
I don't know if I would have because you're right. Because like him in L.A., they probably don't win right away. He'll probably pout and Luke Walton will probably lose his mind.
He could probably get one more. But having him on that team probably could make it easier for them to sign a free agent. Like
that's
no
true.
Free agent's going to go there now. But Cousins could bring someone in the offseason.
There was only one person I saw that liked the trade for
Who?
Sacramento.
Who?
Broadcaster Grant Napier ripped Cousins apart on social media after the trade. You know,
who said, is he?
Well, he's a broadcaster for the Kinks.
Oh. So he waited for him.
So
to,
he works at Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, he waited for him to leave to rip him.
Yeah. Right.
How about that?
Reportedly, you know, him and Cousins had a history together because, like, one time late in the game, like, Cousins went up to him in 2013 and like slammed his hand on the broadcast table, and he was saying, like, you know, basically to paraphrase, what a cancer he was in the locker room, blah 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 blah, and everybody hated him and stuff like that. He's the only person I saw like the trade.
This reminds me of the
that's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. This reminds me of the Terrell Owens thing that everyone's talking about from a couple weeks ago. The Terrell Owens doesn't make the Hall of Fame because he's a cancer in the locker room. Everyone hates Terrell Owens. DeMarcus Cousins, everybody hates DeMarcus Cousins, but he's unbelievable.
From his Twitter, he said, trading DMC was an absolute no-brainer. There has been a dark cloud over this franchise for years. That cloud is now gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the cloud's now gone, and you're not going to win another game.
So wins.
Yeah, exactly. So wins. Exactly.
I'll tell you what, though. To be honest, I really just this week I was saying, man, Willie Cauley-Stein's got to be a free agent, get the hell out of there because he could play.
So that's the first thing I did last night at 12:30 before I went to bed. I picked up Willie Cauley-Stein in both my seasonal leagues. I ran to the waiver wire, and that was the first move I made.
Yeah, he could definitely play. So this is going to help him out. He's not DeMarcus Cousins. I don't want to get too exaggerated here. But he's definitely a guy that's willing and able to be on everybody's fantasy roster. And he's going to immediately come in and put up double-doubles for people from a fantasy perspective.
I loved Willie Cauley-Stein. I picked him up. The other guy that I think really benefits from this trade, I was trying to figure it out. The other guy I think really benefits for me is actually Etuan Moore, oddly enough, in New Orleans, Tony. Langston Galloway was traded. He'll be cut by Sacramento. Tyreke Evans is gone as well. So if you're looking at the starting shooting guard now, I think it's got to be Etuan Moore, no? Buddy Hield's gone too.
Is, yeah, even if it is, which I think it will be.
Yep.
What is the usage rate
right.
be for anyone out of Cousins, Anthony Davis, and then you have
Drew Holiday?
Right. Holiday. Yeah, right? He's not going anywhere now.
No, nope, no. Nope.
Because he was a guy that was being rumored around. He's going to stay, and those three guys are going to go at it. I'll tell you what, all of a sudden now, the first round of the NBA playoffs is going to look good with them in Golden State, right? There's a chance that – I mean, could you imagine if Golden State went down in round one?
Trade will be worth it for New Orleans then.
Oh, it'd be crazy.
It would be wild. But you're absolutely right. Even though the minutes, I think, will be there for Moore, losing Hield, losing Evans, losing Galloway, basically the three guys he was competing with time with, he lost them all. The usage will just not be there. You're probably right about that, Tony. Tim Frazier officially now the backup here to Drew Holiday. So if anything happens to Holiday, you know, Frazier will step right back in the starting lineup without Evans there. So at least things are a little bit clearer from the backcourt perspective in New Orleans. The front court, you have Anthony Davis, you have DeMarcus Cousins. Any of these other schmucks, including my man Terrence Jones, their value is all gone.
Yeah, Jones is rumored to be dealt too.
Yeah, he's asking for a trade now because he knows his time is done there. And if I'm a team, if I'm any of these teams, Tony, I'd love Terrence Jones. This guy's good.
If I'm serious about winning, which New Orleans should be if they go out there, I wouldn't trade Terrence Jones at all. With the health situation you've had with Anthony Davis over the years, you got to keep that guy because it's all about winning now. Like, you all of a sudden are in to win it when you go out and get DeMarcus Cousins. You can't trade a guy because he's unhappy. You tell him, hey, you know what? We pay you every week. You show up and you play and you be ready when we need you.
Totally agree with that mindset as well. Unless they could somehow get a first-round pick back for Terrence Jones, and then they really traded basically nothing for DeMarcus Cousins, which is unbelievable. Also want to note, Omri Caspi headed from Sacramento over to New Orleans as well. From the Sacramento side of things, I mentioned Willie Cauley-Stein is a guy that I ran and picked up last night. Costa Kufis comes to mind. I see big minutes at the starting center position. And in the backcourt, obviously Darren Collison, his usage is gonna skyrocket. I know Buddy Hield is there. I know Tyreek Evans is there. I don't know what the minutes restrictions with him. But the team's not going to win many games, and you're going to want the guys that score, I think.
I think Tyreek Evans, if they allow him to play 30 minutes a game,
yep,
all of a sudden he's going to be a top 20 fantasy player because he just shoots the ball so much and he's just going to be involved in it, and they have no other offense. Tyreek Evans all of a sudden is going to become a fantasy stud, and then he's going to be cut at the season's end.
Yeah, so there you go. Tyreek Evans, if he's around, if that minutes restriction goes away, Tyreek Evans, absolutely someone you probably want to get into. Like I said, I still like Darren Collison. Ty Lawson probably could be cut from your fantasy teams. Asking Ben McLemore here now at this point. Matt Barnes, without Omri Caspi around, his value should stay where it is, Tone.
Yeah, I'm interested, though. Matt Barnes shouldn't be on this team too much longer.
Right.
Yeah, where they go and get DeMarcus Cousins, Barnes is a guy, I think, that can play multiple positions, a veteran. I think other NBA teams would be after him, but he's got the same issues off the court. He has the issues off the court that DeMarcus Cousins has on the court.
It's true.
Yeah, that's a tough duo right there. It's a tough duo right there.
Can you think of two teammates that are scarier to be in a dark alley with? DeMarcus Cousins and Matt Barnes?
Ron Artest and Steven Jackson.
I meant current, but yes, that's Patrick Byron. Put Jermaine O'Neal in there.
Jermaine O'Neal in there with them too. And that was a scary locker
room. Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn.
Yeah, there you go. But currently, no, there's not. There's,
it was
there's
a scary
not.
Teammates.
Yeah, but wow.
Tony, you said it kind of at the top of this that every general manager should be in their owner's office immediately saying, why the hell do we not have DeMarcus Cousins on your team? And the one team that really comes to mind is the Boston Celtics here that, like.
Oh, yeah, I even talked about it this morning. Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, and another player, even like a throwing like a Mayor John, whatever makes the numbers work.
And then throw in a first round pick.
It would be a first round pick from the Brooklyn Nets as
first overall
to a team
pick
that's going to make the play. Yeah, how do you not make that deal? It's crazy. Then you have Al Horford and DeMarcus Cousins in the front court. All of a sudden, teams can't. You still keep Isaiah Thomas.
Yep.
You still keep Avery Bradley.
And you have Jay Crowder at small forward.
Yeah, it's no brainer. And there's a million teams that should be thinking the same thing right now.
Because it sounds very, very easy to do. And I assume it has to do with, in all honesty, the Celtics are playing well with the team they have. Brad Stevens is mowing them down right now. And they didn't want DeMarcus Cousins' attitude in there. I have to think it's the reason.
Oh, it has to be. But the thing, the good thing, too, from teams that acquired DeMarcus Cousins, like the Pelicans.
Yep.
If he's a total train wreck, right,
yep,
you're not tied to a contract.
Not at all.
Just get out of it because he's a free agent. So I look at it with what you had to give up. There was no risk associated with this move. There was no risk at all. If this guy is a total lunatic and he's lighting the locker room on fire every couple days, you could still get rid of him, and you didn't give up anything.
Totally, and that's the thing, right? Like, if it's a disaster, you don't have to. You do not have to resign this guy. You let him walk, and all right, you gave a Buddy Hield, who I think could be good, but all right, he's replaceable, and you gave him a first round pick this year that probably is not going to be. He's going to be either at the end of the lottery or in the playoffs anyway.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's the part that really drives me crazy is if you look at this and say, it's always about risk. There's no risk in a situation. You try DeMarcus Cousins out, and you see what it's like, and you have a shot. And if it doesn't work out and he's that crazy, then you just don't sign him.
Definitely a team nobody's going to want to see early in the Western Conference playoffs.
No, God, no. You know, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There you go.
And they can't. I don't think the funny part is, I think they're really restricted to that eighth spot against Golden State.
They are.
I think Oklahoma has too much of a lead that they can't make it up.
I think so, too. I think they're locked in that eighth spot as well, which will be fascinating to watch. As we said, the big fantasy stars you're going to want to pick up here, Willie Cauley-Stein, the big circle, red highlight, whatever, that's the guy you're going to have to go run and pick up. So, we'll talk more basketball coming up later on in the show, including Corey's thoughts, All-Star Weekend, All-Star Saturday night, as well as the All-Star game last night. We'll talk more about that coming up here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Boogie Cousins, the trade to New Orleans, it was a big story coming out of New Orleans, and of course he's staying in New Orleans. But Corey, of course, it was All-Star Weekend here in New Orleans. Yeah, 3-point contest, of course, the skills competition, the dunk contest the Saturday night, and then the game last night. Now, I didn't have an opportunity, in all honesty, to check out All-Star Saturday night. But according to my Twitter feed, I watched a couple of the dunks afterwards. Yeah. It seemed very boring.
Horrific.
It seemed very boring.
Yeah, we're coming off of two back-to-back very good NBA All-Star Saturday nights. Obviously, with Curry there for the 3-point dominance, and it was a great slam dunk contest.
Now, why didn't Curry do it this year?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his reason was. Yeah, but he said he didn't want to do it this year, so he left it up to Clay and Kyrie. Eric Gordon takes that one. The dunk contest was pitiful. Like, they need to go back to the drawing board and figure out a way to get it done again. So the skills competition, I didn't get to see much of that, but the unicorn, our guy, Porzingis, was able to take that in. Other than that, though, you know, the celebrity, the fanfare around it was pretty decent. But overall, it was a pretty poor showing by the NBA on All-Star Saturday night. With Clay not even advancing to the finals of the 3-point shootout, yeah. A lot of people was missing racks and stuff like that. It was a poor performance.
So I watched a lot of that because I was in a bar waiting to eat dinner, and I was watching a lot of that. I watched a lot of 3-point contests. I was like, man, as many threes as Eric Gordon has hit this year, I probably should have bet on that guy. Like, he chucks more threes than anybody, seemingly.
Yeah, but so,
I thought the same thing.
I just saw that. I was like, that makes so much sense.
If I was in Vegas, I would have made a score because there's no way I would not have bet on him.
Because I got a text from a buddy. He's like, oh, I'm going to bet on, and it was somebody. I think maybe it was Kyrie. It was somebody that had, like, okay odds. I'm like, and then I saw Eric Gordon was in it. I was like, this one makes a lot of sense. And then he wound up winning the whole thing. Scotty, let me ask you. Corey says this entire dunk contest needs to be revamped. It needs to be totally changed over and whatever. You know, last year very good with Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. But do you think it's, like, egregious that guys like LeBron James have never even been in a dunk contest?
To be honest with you, I haven't watched a dunk contest or a skills competition or a 3-point contest in years.
But if those guys were in it,
it might interest me more. Yep. Like, you know, back like in the 90s when Jordan was doing the dunk contest, you knew you couldn't miss it. It's just like, All-Star Saturday night, like, okay, I got a break from basketball, you know, and then, you know, I guess we'll talk about our thoughts on the All-Star game next, you know, and I can bring those up. But just like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do other things tonight. I'm just not very compelled. It was nice to see Porzingis won something as a Knicks fan, but I didn't watch any of it.
Right. And I felt, and I was on a flight last night home, I felt compelled zero to watch any of the All-Star game, for sure. Like,
that's the best part of the weekend, though.
Do you think normally it is? Why is that? You see the stars?
That's the stars, yeah. It's the stars. And people are like, oh, this is a terrible game, but what do you expect? They're not going to sit up there. Right. The final score is not going to be 90-87.
Right.
This is highlights. This is high flying. This is up and down the court. So I was satisfied with the actual game. But the Saturday night was pitiful.
Now, according to my Twitter feed, the star, Corey, of All-Star Sunday night of the All-Star game was John Legend. People seemingly loved John Legend last night.
I didn't get that.
Maybe he did the halftime, maybe? I don't know.
It's like I watched the first quarter and then I turned it off. To me, it just looked like a bunch of guys, like, fooling around. Getting ready to play. It's just like I didn't enjoy it. It's just like, you know, the lack of just, like, defense was just like, it was like another dunk competition. It's just like, it didn't interest me. Now,
so you want to see them play defense in the All-Star game?
I want to see it. Well, it was just like such an egregious lack of defense that it didn't interest me. I remember watching a game in the 80s and
90s. So wait, do you want, like, defense in this competition?
I at least want the guys to play respectable defense. It was like no defense at all, you know, just like the guys just looked like they were fooling around. It didn't interest me.
You know, I look at the All-Star game, we look at every All-Star game, whether it's the Pro Bowl, the MLB All-Star game, they all suck.
Yeah.
But I still think, Tony, the NBA one, for whatever reason, is still my favorite. If I had to choose, and I don't have to watch any of them. But I think the NBA All-Star game is still my favorite. And maybe it's because, you know, all the stars are going to do cool stuff. And, like, even in baseball, like, you have no idea if Mike Trout's going to get a hit or not. You know LeBron's going to put up some vicious dunk. You know Russell Westbrook's going to do something crazy. Like, I think it's still my favorite All-Star game.
To me, it's definitely Major League Baseball because it's the only real. To me, it's the only one that's similar to the real game.
Right.
Like, I couldn't watch. I watched MMA last night instead of this game.
That's a good point.
Because it's not a game. It's basically a freak show. They just go and they throw alley-oops to each other. I mean, I can watch the Harlem Globetrotters and get the same thing.
It's true.
But the Harlem Globetrotters don't have Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, you know what I mean,
yeah,
Kevin Durant.
I watch those guys compete against, you know, when they put LeBron's against Kevin Durant. Yeah. That's what I want to watch when both guys are playing, you know, defense and
right.
not letting another guy throw an alley-oop to the other guy, you know, in a highlight film. You know, it's great, but to watch 2 hours of that, I can't do it. It's terrible.
One quarter was enough for me. It's like when I was coming up, like in the 80s and 90s, early 90s, there was at least like a semblance of respectable defense.
No,
you know?
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
I would say it's worse than what I saw last night. I just enjoyed the game more growing up. It's like it seemed like a little more challenging to score when I was growing up.
Even when I was growing up, Bird, Magic, and all the games were the same way. I couldn't watch it then. I enjoyed the Saturday night competition so much better. And
yeah,
I think
you had like
NBA
a guy like
really
Bird in the three. To Greg's point, when you had like a guy like Bird in the 3-point contest, I wanted to watch. You know, but to Tony's point, baseball, I agree, is like the most like the real game because the guy's still throwing, you know, his cutter, and the other guy's trying to hit it, and I believe. You know, the home run contest, a lot of times you still get a top guy, and I think it's the most difficult feat to accomplish in all of the All-Star games.
Yeah, but in Major League Baseball's All-Star game, if a guy comes up in his final season or his, you know what I'm saying, his final time, they love salt, they more or less pitch him underhanded so he can hit the big home run. That's a lack of defense.
I'm saying, though, in the overall game, though, you're still going to see, like, a guy come in and throw, you know, like a splitter, a cutter, etc. You know, there are those obvious exceptions, but I think it most simulates the real game.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about the stars and you watch it. Like, the stars usually come out for like the 3-point contest. Like, this is the first year Steph seemingly hasn't done it. And the skills competition, like, KP wins it and Karl Anthony Towns won it last year. So the stars are out for there. It's seemingly they're just not out for the dunk contest.
Well, that's a dunk contest. You can get hurt.
Can you?
Yes, you can get hurt
Who's gotten hurt in the dunk contest?
Well, nobody has, but you can get hurt doing that.
35 years, nobody's gotten hurt.
You can
get
hurt in the dunk contest. You can injure yourself. It's no reason to be jumping up in the air and throwing that ball through the hoop if you're LeBron James. It really isn't.
Why?
Because why would you do that?
The fans want to see it.
It makes no sense.
The fans
want to see you on the field in the finals. They don't really care too much. Shooting a 3-pointer and jumping up and doing a 360 and throwing the ball down is two totally different things.
When Michael Jordan was in the dunk contest,
he was a
right?
very young man.
You know, he was, but
LeBron
like,
was a young one.
But
time.
Like people just like you know they love that. It was so polarizing, so compelling. Like you know, like it became a cottage industry. So posters everywhere and stuff like that. To see guys like LeBron play like that would be more exciting, more compelling.
Dominique Wilkins was huge.
Oh, legendary.
Larry Nance, Spud Webb.
Dominique Wilkins is not the player LeBron James is.
Michael Jordan
but
is.
No, but he was a pretty good player.
He was one of the greatest dunkers I ever saw.
But LeBron James is one of the best players ever.
I understand
Michael Jordan is, but go ahead, Tone.
We have players that don't even start on teams in the dunk.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Forget
too.
Start, Tony. This guy don't play. They've got 3 minutes all season.
I mean,
they got to do a better job.
If I'm the NBA, I got to cancel it. If that's all I can get, if that's the commitment I'm getting for the players, it's not working. You got to cancel it.
Correct. You got to do something else. Like I go to like MLB's Home Run Derby, right? At least you have the best players coming out for that.
Yeah,
you got them. Like Mike Trout's done it. Bryce Harper, they've done it. They don't do it every year, and that's fine. I'm not asking LeBron to do it every
Kobe
year.
Kobe Bryant has done it. Michael Jordan's done it. You know what I'm saying? LeBron just is not going to do it.
That's ridiculous.
He does not want to get hurt doing it.
What about was the year he declared, "I will be here next year," and then he didn't.
Then he thought about it. He made a business decision. He thought about it.
You know
it.
Why? Because he's scared of losing. He's scared of losing. That's what it was.
You're
scared of losing.
I don't think LeBron is scared of
losing. But the thing was, he wouldn't have lost. LeBron James does it. He doesn't lose.
In the game itself, though, I can't remember just like how it's changed. I never recall that many like alley-oops and wide-open dunks. You know, like
you
must have
been watching it in a while,
you
know? Scott. This thing, well, first of all, the athletes are not like that.
Yeah,
like, are not like that no more. Like, you know,
I just felt like, and you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just my view because I haven't watched it in a long time. And I got turned off to it. Just like, I just felt like, you know, there's like a lack of effort. Like these, like, guys don't care.
I see the thing about it is I can't understand.
I thought there was more pride coming up in years past.
What if you're tuning into the NBA All-Star game, what do you think you're going to get?
Right.
You're not going to get game 7 of the finals. You're not going to get 115-101. You're going to get 201-199. This is going to be high-flying. This is going to be a shootout. This is going to be the most talented players, the most talented athletes in the world, more or less putting on an aerial show for the fans. It's not... This is not the NBA All-Star game. Is not about a defensive contest.
No, it wasn't. But I felt like when I was watching, Antetokounmpo steals the ball from Harden. Harden just stands there and watches him dunk. You know?
Yeah,
it's like, and then there's like three alley oops in a row. To me, that looks like the guys are playing horse or something.
Hmm. I just don't know what people expect from the actual game.
I think from what I read and saw highlights of, I think you got what anything you expected.
Yeah, you got what you expected. The score was 192-182. That's the All Star game.
You got what you expected.
Giannis, the highest scoring ever.
Anthony Davis put up a 52 All Star game high.
Chamberlain's record.
LeBron
10.
LeBron.
Then wasn't the record, the previous record was last year?
No, it was Chamberlain had the record 42. Last night.
Okay, yeah, but yeah. We've seen players in recently score. You
close
know,
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook had a fantastic game, of course. Giannis Antetokounmpo, his first All-Star game was tremendous. So, you know, NBA All-Star game, pretty much, as Corey said, it's what you expected it to be, which is fine. Which is fine. All right, we'll take a break here. Come back, play a little Connect Four, go back and get into baseball. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Available now! RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. It's available right now. RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio when you check out. You'll get a discount. There's fantastic stuff in here. This is the only way to get into fantasy baseball draft season, to prep like the pros do. It's the exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package 2017, available right now at rotoexperts.com. Use free radio when you check out. We'll be going over an article from this package, including the changing fantasy value of recently traded prospects, written by the award-winning Chris Mitchell, when we coming up a little bit next hour. So we'll get into that coming up around 8 o'clock.
Chris's top 25 prospects. Coming up this week in the package.
There you go. Yeah, that's coming up this weekend.
Let me ask you a question, Scott, about this industry. The rookie industry is blown up, right?
Yeah.
Big time. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody loves the stuff.
Yep.
Yet none of these writers actually ever go see these guys play. So how do they do it?
Actually, I got two guys on staff who actually do go and see the guys play. I know Mitchell goes to the minor league ballparks, and I know Michael Waterloo gets press credentials for about two or three minor league ballparks. So... You're right. You want some authenticity there, and we definitely got it. Chris also writes for Baseball America.
That's intriguing. I think Tony is saying like the Arizona Fall League, you know, and stuff like that.
Where do guys actually go and watch the games at the minor league ballparks,
okay,
and give them the eyeball test.
All right.
Which is the flip side of what we talked about last week. You know, like. You know, can you do everything by the numbers? And, you know, it's probably best to have a marriage of the eyeball test, you know, and the numbers. And, you know, I think we got it.
I think it's tougher at the minor league level because you don't know the quality of competition year to year and will change. Mm-hmm. And so it's harder to use just the numbers with the minor league stuff. But I think the advances in media actually help out. And if a guy was serious about his craft, that you can get games on the MILB network all the time, the Minor League Baseball network. They have packages where you can actually watch games, and there's so much. Like the same thing in the MMA, right? When I watched this thing, I did 6 hours of research yesterday. I could actually go to YouTube and find every single guy's fight on YouTube. So it's amazing if you really put in the work that you can actually do.
Yeah, I know Chris for a fact. Like, you know, I said to him once, I said, how do you see all these guys and know what you're talking about? He's like, I go to games and I have the minor league package that you just described.
Yeah. That's a label of love right there, to watch minor league baseball.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a labor of love.
Taste.
Yes, it is.
Do you mean LABR of love? Or
No, not a League of Alternative Baseball, reality of love. That was last week, Greg. You missed that.
What?
The labor draft was last week. You missed it.
So I had the labor draft up.
Oh, okay.
Because I was doing research for the show. So before I went on the plane, I put the labor draft up to check it out and to make sure, you know, I understood. I also did my lottery. Oh.
What happened?
I forgot about that. I have the lottery, the machine.
Oh, okay. Oh, that. You looked over like you saw a mouse in there.
I forgot that I hadn't brought
You scared me, bro.
I forgot that I hadn't brought it back yet.
What you took the damn thing?
Yeah.
Well, you took it to your house?
I took it to my personal lottery draft, yeah. Did you even know it was
Scott,
gone?
He took company property.
I asked. Tell
the listeners what you're talking about, Corey.
We have a little thing where you can like what's the lady's name that comes on?
It's a lottery joint
where you then you pick the winner out.
Yeah,
the lottery drum. Yeah. We had one in the studio, and I actually was going to try to use it at some point to do something creative on one of these programs.
Nice.
And Greg took the damn thing home.
You had no idea until I just told you. I took it a week
ago. No, you're right. I didn't know. But still. Who told you to take it home?
Upset.
Yeah, I'm pissed off.
By the time that you want it, it'll be back here.
All right.
There you go.
I didn't know this kid was taking these things home, Scott.
So we did the...
I would take that helmet home.
As long as you bring... You want to take a TV home? It's been sitting here.
The box is... I don't know where the box is at.
Wow, yeah.
I'm
going to
take
box.
One of the working ones home. Walking Dead on the big screen.
I'm sure if you want a helmet, you can...
No, I don't. I'm not going to take a helmet home. You know, I'm not going to play.
As long as you return it.
Yeah, I'm not going to play.
By the way, we had the lottery for my personal league last weekend.
How'd it work?
I got the first pick.
Good job.
Nice.
So what, you going to go Trout, and then on the turn you're going to do two pitches?
It's a keeper league. Okay, but okay. I am...
When is the draft? Like, how long do you have to prepare?
March 29th.
Wow, that's a long time.
It is. It's a very long time. But my plan is to take Mookie Betts and then take the two pitchers, Corey. To answer your question, same thing.
You're in the points league, right?
Head to head. You guys talked about this last week, right? Head to head, being dumber, right? You gotta be dumb to be in head to head, Tony.
How does this work that Mookie Betts isn't kept in a keeper league?
Because
is it a first time keeper league?
No. It's been around. So basically, going into last year, nobody kept him basically, and he was a first round pick last year, and you can't keep first round picks.
Oh, okay. I like leagues that do that, though. I like that you can't. I think you shouldn't be able to keep anybody in the first three rounds.
Yeah, I agree with that. We do it. You can't keep anyone in the first two rounds. So
yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's along those lines. So I get Mookie Betts, and I'm going to try to do the two pitchers. That's my plan. I can't tell you the last time, for whatever reason, in a draft that I've had like a top three pick or whatever. I've always had like toward the bottom. It's always very frustrating.
You look very happy about this.
Yeah. And I think it's a combination of having first pick and like coming back from vacation. It's a combo.
Because some people don't always like having the first pick. It's like you get people grumble about every spot in the draft.
Yeah. Scott, you taught me long ago you can win from any spot in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if that's true.
Really?
I don't know if that's true.
Read.
Yes.
And I didn't have I don't have the number of drafts that were associated with this. I actually read in the NFBC in baseball, the number one pick is one of the most times, and it actually goes down 10% each pick down 15.
Mm. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. I didn't expect that, actually.
I think maybe not this year, but last year in FFWC, I think it was something like almost like a third of the league champions had like the seventh pick. So you do have things like that happens, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's random.
Yeah.
But you can put it together from anywhere.
It's interesting, but the NFBC, because you can't trade, you know, in a regular league, you don't have that first pick. You know, you could still maybe somehow swing a trade for a Mike Trout.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Or swing a trade for a pick. Now, do you guys – so one of my favorite things about the draft, actually, is when we do it in person, like those are my favorite types of draft, and the ability to trade during the draft. Like, and it's every year we're trading picks constantly back and forth. Like, all right, I'll take this pick for your pick in this round, and then we swap picks later. And we swap this. We do all these crazy maneuvers, and like basically, once one person kind of establishes the market for this type of trade, we see it several times during the draft. And we have a draft board on Google Docs, for instance, and they're all different shades of different colors to signify who's in what spot, and it's really exhilarating, like being able to make trades on the spot, make the moves. Do you do this, Scotty?
Yearly league, I don't, because if Yeah, I believe that you can pretty much draft from everywhere. And I want the player market established before I go there. It's not something that I actively look to do, but, you know, I will entertain an offer. I think in a keeper league, I'd be more motivated to do it. In a yearly league, it's something I really don't think about, honestly.
What about you, Tony? You're doing a live draft, offline, online, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you trade picks at all?
No trading picks, but I do it in a dynasty football league we're in.
Right.
We have a rookie draft only, and there are a lot of picks traded. And but we don't do it in a regular one-year league.
Okay. What about you, Corey?
Not a real big trade guy. I don't like trading, period.
It's very fun.
It doesn't do it for me. I like my guys.
You like them, you won't quit on your guys?
Yeah, I like my guys.
Okay.
Like, I really have to, you know, if I do make a trade, it's going to, you have to approach me.
You will not go out and seek a trade?
Mm-mm.
Even if you're falling behind, you don't care?
I'll try to put something together. Every now and then, I may try to put something together. Maybe once a season, every other season. I'm not a real big trade guy.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think the last draft day trade I've made was to trade up to get Dante Culpepper.
That's a long time
when
ago.
When he was with the Vikings.
That's the last draft day trade you made. Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
I don't actively seek it out.
Most leagues I play in don't have trades.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I really think, I come in prepared and I think I'm ready to go, and the only way I can lose is if some idiot makes a trade to some other idiot. And the team got better.
But what if there's just a guy, Tony, you're in a draft that, like, you know what, you really want a guy. Well, you'll just take him a couple of rounds early to make sure you get him?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like,
I'll never forget it. When we were at SiriusXM, I took Chris Davis that year before he hit the 50 home runs.
Right.
In the fourth round.
Yep.
And people asking me if I was on drugs.
I believe it. Right.
And I said, well, you know, email me in September, and nobody ever does.
You know, they're similar in my league a couple of years ago. Someone took Carlos Gomez in, like, the fourth round. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
And he turned into pretty good.
Yeah, I remember Brian Braun's big breakout year. Ron Chandler took him, like, with the number one pick in the FSTA draft, and everybody was like, why did he do that? And then, like Tony said, nobody questioned it come September. And, you know, then you get, like, these people, like, just love to wheel and deal. It's like, I've played with two other experts, Dave Richard of CBSSports.com. That guy is trading picks before the draft, during the draft,
love it,
after the draft. He'll make three trades within a week. And, you know, it's crazy. And Fred Zinke, you know, there's a lot of trades that go on in Tout Wars. Nobody makes more trades with Fred Zinke. I play with people like Dave Richard, though, who, as much as I respect him, I'm like, when do you ever get to a point where you feel settled, you know, with your roster and just say, okay, you know, I'll sit with it, because some people don't. They just keep making trade after trade after trade.
I think Zinke's an exception to the rule. I don't know a lot of guys that make a lot of trades that win. Zinke's definitely an exception.
Yeah, two years ago,
wins.
Yeah.
He always wins. He's a very good player. I think people trade, and this is one aspect of fantasy sports that people love to do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if they're not trading for a purpose and they're trading just to trade, which I believe most people do, it really doesn't get anywhere, but they're still getting the satisfaction and their entertainment out of fantasy sports, but they're just not going to win.
Yeah, I make a trade when I look at my roster and I say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that slot or that stat at all. I really need to do something to improve it, and I do it now. There's not a set moment for me to make a trade. It's like I look at my team, I look at where I'm at in the standings or what matchup I have coming up for a certain player or something like that, and it's just like things just have to converge together for me mentally. There's no, like, set, okay, I have to make a deal now because of this.
Stick around. We'll be right back talking more baseball here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As I said, I was able to check out labor results when I was away. Just keeping an eye on things. I like to see how things change from one expert draft to the other. I saw our buddy Jake Seeley was in it. I checked his team, which was cool. So maybe put together a Connect Four for you guys. Yes, Corey.
Oh, did you hear about this last week that Jake Seeley won that draft?
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, your boy Jake Seeley, he was crowned the draft champion. They got to go through the season part, But Jake has already won the draft. All the projections say so.
I did. I caught that, actually.
And Rick Wolf. And Rick Wolf.
Oh, yeah. So the smart system, the fantasy pros thing, everybody popped their draft in, and Jake won the draft. And he has bars and charts to prove this, Greg.
So he's a champion.
He's just a champion of the draft.
Does he get a title belt?
No, he just gets to go on the radio and say he's a champion of the draft.
What does that mean, though?
we have the same question.
So we're trying to find out.
Like, maybe Stephanie Bell feels that she won the draft.
I'm sure everybody in the draft feels like they won the draft, Greg.
Does she have a bar graph?
There you go, right there.
Tweet about 8 times that she won?
I see where this is
maybe
going.
Maybe she has an x-ray.
I see where this is going. I'm not going to participate.
You know, this is one of the, see, Greg, this is why people don't, you know, they look at you as a little different than us. Like, we're open and honest about people. And you just sugarcoat things. And they say, you know, Greg's fraud, nice kid, but, you know, he's never going to tell us how he feels.
I do tell you how you feel. Remember, before I left on my vacation, you were saying how salty I've been becoming, how much I've been becoming like you.
Yeah, I know. You got to, see, that's it. You got on vacation now and you're soft again. Nobody can declare yourself that, like, I think it's kind of disrespectful, too. Like, I'll never, like, come on the air. I'll say a lot of things. I'll never come on the air and tell anyone, like, somebody's lost in an expert league. Like, that's like an unwritten rule. You don't do that.
Sure.
And I would never be in a draft and say I won. I won it for Bagra. Like, please lock me up if that ever happens.
Come down there and check the coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
hope he wins.
I hope he wins the league. If he wins the league, then
I would definitely be happy for the company. Yeah. That would be nice.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Scott won at FSTA in 76, so that'd be our next big
Corey
win.
Corey hasn't won yet. So,
I haven't been invited.
Yeah. That says something.
So Jake's third round pick was Nelson Cruz. So my connect four for you, sir, is Yasmani Tomas, Chris Davis, Nelson Cruz, and other Chris Davis. How are they connected, Scotty?
Chris Davis,
Nelson Cruz, and Yasmani Tomas.
Well, other than the fact that, you know, both of them are named Chris Davis, I would say high strikeout rate.
No, sir. Yeah. Corey.
They all hit the ball in the air the majority of the time.
That is true, but it's kind of what we're leaning toward, Tony.
So it's kind of what we're leading
to. Yeah.
The leaders in hard hit rates.
No, they all have a home run to fly ball ratio over 25%. So a quarter of their fly balls go out of the park. How important is that to us, Scotty?
I think it depends on who you look at, you know, and
what the guys we're looking at.
Career track. Like, if you look at Eric Hosmer's home run to fly ball rate, you know that's not sustainable.
Sure. But,
you know, Chris Davis is always going to put the ball in the air, the one with the C. I think, you know, the other Chris Davis has a lot of natural power. So I think in a lot of cases, you know, Nelson Cruz too, because, you know, people were talking about, okay, he went from Baltimore to Seattle. He wasn't going to be able to keep it up. You know, I think this is, in a lot of cases, who these guys are, just like, you know, where some speed hitters have a high BABIP.
So you are, you look at this stat, and you basically, for these four particular guys,
yeah.
Chris Davis, Nelson Cruz, Yasmani Tomas, the fourth guy here, which I think is interesting.
I think Tomas still has to prove it a little bit
but the other three, they
are what they are. But Tomas has a lot of natural power, too. Even if there's a little regression, he's going to hit a lot of bombs.
So those four guys, you believe, listen, it makes sense, right? A quarter of their fly balls are going to be home runs. Like, that's a fair number for you?
Yeah, but I think Scott nailed it. Like, I think if it was a guy that came out of nowhere and had these numbers, you would say, oh, that's a fluke. But these guys all have done it, you know, for a couple years, so you're okay with it, except Yasmani Tomas. I think this is a stat that you can't look at and be 100% accurate, 100% use.
Yeah.
Because basically the same thing with Eric Hosmer, right? He pulled out that percentage. That, oh, with him, we look at it as a fluke because he's been around Major League Baseball for 6-7 seasons.
Sure.
And yet this is by far the one out there. So I think it's one of these stats that you can't go 100% by, but you have to have some sustained tracker. You you look at even Chris Davis with the K, I think he's a guy that's legit too as well.
Yeah, it's all about context. You know, you just can't look at the stat, especially if you're a new fantasy baseball researcher. You know, you have to know that, you know, it really depends on the type of player.
I look at, and to me, Tony's drinking that special coffee.
I got a little Maxwell house.
Yeah, I like it.
Scotty brought it up here. Chris Davis, Nelson Cruz, like, we've seen these guys. They hit monster fly balls, and so often they go out. About a quarter of the time they go out. It all makes sense. Yes, Manny Tomas is the one guy that he's almost, I don't want to say still emerging, but, you know, he's a guy that I think, Scott, like you said, there's a lot of question marks still about. Is that a number, Tony, that you think can, again, I guess, be sustainable for Yasmani Tomas? Nelson Cruz, Chris Davis. Okay, we've seen that. These guys have this type of power. They have the ability to get the ball out of there consistently. Is Yasmani Tomas in that category?
He's not in that category. And the one thing that I look at Yasmani Tomas and I'm now infatuated with,
okay,
is that when he first came into the league, he did not pull the ball. He hit the ball to all sides of the field. So he pulled the ball 41% of the time last year, and he had home run numbers 31% of the time before that.
All right. We'll be back right here after this.